My message this morning is called Now What? They're going to put something cool up here. See how cool that is? Now What? The last 2 weeks, we've had so much fun in here. 2 weeks ago, we had 5 young men baptized. We waved our palms. We were so excited. Last week was Easter, probably one of the best Sundays you have in a year of church. And so we've had 2 really high highs. Now what? There's an old R&B song that says, back to life, back to reality. And, you know, I started this week to think, when I found out it was my turn to get up here and minister, I thought, Lord, you know, cool, it's my turn. Palm Sunday, pastor's playing a little trick on me. Palm Sunday, wave the palms, full house Easter Sunday, and then Carrie, you get to get up there. So now what? Now what do we do? I started to ask the Lord, now what? And so he reminded me of this. I grew up a very good buttoned up Assemblies of God girl. Is there anyone else that grew up in the Assemblies of God in here? Carol, my husband Andre, my sister Marissa, Assemblies of God. And we used to, when people got saved in the Assemblies of God, there was a little blue book that they got that said, now what? On the front, and it said, you know, you need to be baptized, these things. And I got a picture of that book in my head when I was asking Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? He said, tell him now what. So if you will stand with me this morning, if you have a Bible, that'd be awesome. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 24, the verses will also be on the screen, because I am reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible that you may not all have. But I'm going to read to you out of that this morning. We're going to find out now what. He's risen. Now what? If I can find Luke, you would think that Holy Spirit anointed preacher woman of God that I am, I would have marked my page, but that was a joke. You're supposed to laugh. I mean, I am, but, you know, you're allowed to laugh again. And I am going to move rapidly through this. There are children in here. Look, today, you all should be praying for me while I preach. Not only is my boss in the room, my children are in the room. Intercede for me while I'm totally being silly. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to start in verse 13. Are you ready? Here we go. Now that same day, 2 of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk among them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking? They stopped walking and looked discouraged. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your word is anointed. I thank you that we have had 2 rockin' Sundays, the past 2 Sundays in this church, and that this morning we get to find out what happens next. And I thank you that you have a word for us this morning. I just believe you that you're here and that you're going to change hearts and minds and lives this morning. And I thank you that I get the honor of being up here. And I just pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me set the stage for you this morning. Jesus is risen from the tomb. The disciples haven't seen him. A couple of ladies, and maybe somebody else, but we don't exactly know, went to check the tomb. They got to see the angel. They got to be amazed. But here's the thing. The ladies were just ladies in that culture. The men did not believe them. Crazy, right? Because these ladies had traveled with them. They were essentially disciples, too. They just weren't one of the men. But when they went to check out the tomb, they were kind of like, yeah, right, whatever. You're women. Isn't that awesome? The ladies see the angels, they're told he's risen, they tell the 11 disciples, but they don't believe it. But Peter, because he's Peter, he gets up to go check it out for himself. So here's where we pick up. We're on the Emmaus Road, we're traveling with them. Are you ready? And here's what I need to ask of you this morning. I need you to not just immediately know what's going to happen at the end of this chapter. I need you to use your imagination. I need you to engage your mind. And I need you to pretend like you've maybe never heard this story before. Because we are so familiar sometimes with the Word of God, and we're so familiar with the stories, and we know it's all going to be okay in the end. We know what's going to happen, that we don't allow ourselves to be in the moment in the story. We move right on past what's happening. We miss the process. We miss the pieces that put the puzzle together because we think we already know. And you all do know, a lot of you. But I'm asking you to back up with me and walk down the Emmaus Road. Are you ready? Here we go. These men are walking. They're going 7 miles. They're going to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 14 that they're discussing everything that's taken place. It actually says they're arguing. Holy men of God, disciples, they're arguing. But let me set the stage for you with something. These men have literally lived day in, day out, night and day, every meal, in the actual presence of Jesus Christ. Hold on, come back. They're with Jesus. Like, sometimes we have a moment when we're praying or we come into a prayer meeting or we're in a service or we're worshiping and we feel the presence of the Lord and it's like, whoa, and it's amazing and we know it's there. These people lived that day in, day out for 3 years plus. Suddenly, he's not there anymore. When I go to the beach and come home, I'm grumpy. Okay? When I have 3 or 4 days off in a row and I have to go to back to work on Monday, I'm a little grouchy. I'm a little argumentative sometimes. These guys have literally been in the presence of Jesus Christ for 3 years, and suddenly they're not anymore. And they're arguing. They're a little grumpy. There are two things that I think that we're going to talk about right now that can happen in your now what? After the celebration, after the touch from the Lord, after maybe, you know, there's been an altar call in church and you've raised your hand and said, I'm going to read my Bible every single day, or I'm going to go to the nations, or whatever that thing might be where you have an encounter with the Lord, where you've made a decision, you're going to move forward, you're going to do better, you're going to have more, you're going to touch the Father's heart in a greater way. You know what happens sometimes in the now what of that? Let's look at the disciples. Doubt and discouragement. We go back to life and back to reality. We're not waving our palm branches this morning. It's not He is Risen. There's not amazing music. Although, Eddie, thank you. You sang two of my favorite songs this morning. I was sitting there thinking, I got to thank Him because He made me feel like I could preach. The mundane regularness of life begins to set in for these men, and they start to doubt. And the Word of God even says the word discouraged. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years, 1,095 days, a full-time encounter, every second literally in His presence. Here's what happens, though, because they're human and the Lord is so merciful to us that these men stood there while Jesus did the miracles. They participated in them with Him. They had a greater experience than what we get to have. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of you have walked with Jesus on a road. I haven't. They had it better than us, and 3 days without Him, and we find them doubting and discouraged. 0.27% of the amount of time that they were with Him, He's been gone. 0.27%. With Him 1,095 days, without Him for 3 days, doubting and discouraged. We're human. And the regularness of life, the mundane, the ordinary, the pushing through, the things you have to do sets in. And suddenly you find yourself doubting and discouraged. We find them questioning. You have to put yourself in their place for a minute. Remember, we're not just reading a Bible story. These men had given up every single thing about their life to follow this man named Jesus. They left it all behind. They gave up their businesses. They left their families behind. They followed Him. They were accused, all those things. And suddenly He's gone. They're human, just like us. And then, this is so fun. A man joins them on their walk to Emmaus. We find that in the context of what's happening here, it would have been very normal because the roads were very, very busy back and forth to these towns. It would have been very normal as Andre and I are walking along with our kids for another person to come join us and just start chatting, just start talking to us. And so this man, we know it's Jesus, they don't. So I'm going to call him the man for right now. Because if I call Him Jesus, we go way forward and we miss what happens. Here's a guy that joins them along their journey. Are you with me? They're walking 7 miles to Emmaus. They're doubting. They're discouraged. And a man joins them. In verse 16, it literally says that they couldn't see that it was Jesus. They were prevented from recognizing Him. You know, scholars, this is, go with me on this one. Will you guys go with me? Okay. Scholars say that God prevented them. The text doesn't actually tell us that. That's what scholars say. And scholars are right a lot of the time, but would you go with me and wonder if maybe it wasn't actually God doing it, but it was their own doubt and their own discouragement that didn't recognize who was walking with them? Okay? They've been away from him 3 days. Day in, day out, everyday life, every meal. 3 days later, they can't tell it's him because they're doubting and they're discouraged. When you have your highest highs in life or with the Lord, sometimes the now what after that, at first, can be doubt and discouragement. Here we are. Here we are, church, and we've been touched by the Lord in the last couple of weeks, and we've had wonderful days in his presence. Maybe you've responded to the altar call last Sunday. Maybe you're here today and you gave your life to Jesus for the first time last week. And then on Monday you wake up and you think, did I really feel what I thought I felt? Maybe not. You know, I thought the Lord said that these things were going to happen, but today I feel kind of regular. I feel kind of mundane. I feel kind of normal. I'm starting to doubt a little bit. Did he really say? Is that who he really was? Maybe my emotions just got excited because it was good music and a good word, and maybe I just got really happy and thought God said. Maybe they just played the right song and it made me feel good inside. You know, maybe none of it really matters. Maybe going to church on Sunday and being with people doesn't really actually matter. Because there's a now what after he's risen. There's a now what. In verse 17, it actually says, well, you look at it if you have your Bible. It says, the man asked them, what is this dispute you're having as you're walking with each other? And the Bible says that they stopped and looked discouraged. Disciples, remind yourself, they walked with Jesus every single day. He's only been gone 3 days. They're fighting, they're doubting, and they're discouraged. Can't you just feel them thinking, why are you asking me this ridiculous question? When the man asks him, if you look in the text, they respond to him like, what planet are you living on, my friend? Do you not know what has happened in this town over the last few days? Are you not here with us? Don't you know, like, what kind of weirdo are you that you're asking me what I'm talking about here? They're doubting, and they're discouraged. And in verse 21, if you look at it, it says, let me read it to you. It says, but we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. And guess what? It's been 3 days since it all went down. They were hoping. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a touch from the Lord, an experience with the Lord, a word from the Lord, and you know it's real in that moment, and you're ready to take on the planet for the kingdom of God, and then you get 3 days out. I was hoping it was real. I was hoping it was the Lord. Here's what I want you to see in this. They were people just like us. It is so easy. I do it. We all do it. It's so easy to read through this, and oh, they're the disciples. It's all going to be okay. But they give us a pattern and a type and a picture so that we can say, Lord, they have just literally seen every single thing that was prophesied about you happen in front of their eyes. It takes 3 days to be doubtful and discouraged. You know what that is for you? You know what the word from that is for you this morning? It's okay. If you get doubtful sometimes and you get discouraged sometimes, you're all right. Because guess what, friend? You weren't there when he was on the cross. You weren't there when he fed the 5,000. None of that. None of us were. And so if the disciples who literally walked with Jesus on the earth can get doubtful and discouraged, we probably will too sometimes. I'm not prophesying gloom and doom over you. I'm saying this is the real world that we live in, and we're real human beings, real emotions. And sometimes the now what after the greatest thing is you're going to walk through a little doubt and a little discouragement. But it's okay because you're not alone. In the middle of this, where are they? They're walking. They're on the road. They're headed somewhere. They're doubting and discouraged. But who is actually there with them the whole time? Jesus is right there. He's right there. They just can't see him. because they're doubting and discouraged for a minute. You don't have to throw everything away that the Lord has said to you. Get furious with yourself. Quit church. Quit Jesus. Quit worshiping. Go mope in your house and be alone all the time because you felt down for a couple days after you had a big breakthrough or after a really good thing really happened. You don't have to come to church this morning and say, well, it ain't Easter anymore. He's still risen, though. He's still risen. And now we get to walk it out. Are you ready? The second thing that is in the now what? He's risen, now what? Is community and connection. Correction, excuse me. Community and correction. I don't want to say the word correction because we don't like it. Did you hear me stutter over that word? We don't like it. I don't like it, so I didn't want to say it. It came out funny. Verse 25. They tell him all the things that Jesus did. They go through it all. Verse 25, the man, they still don't know who he is, says to them, how unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts that all the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things? And he goes on and on and on. And the man that they're walking along the road with is correcting them. Raise your hand if it's your most favorite thing to be corrected. Where are you? Who are you? Because I need to get next to you and find out how you do it. No, not our favorite. But here's the disciples. They're on the road with this man. And he starts to correct them. But the way he corrects them is he reminds them about what they already know. He's not revealing something brand new to them. He's not like laying out some new scripture that they've never heard before. He's bringing them back. The word says that he brings them back and takes them through the entire word of God to show them, yeah, he was the one. You were right. He did it all. All those prophecies, the beginning of the Old Testament, the Psalms, and the end, he's the one. He was there. You didn't miss it. Excuse me. They had lost their connection with the Savior. They were disconnected from him for the first time ever in their walk with him. Do you hear that? They're suddenly not near him anymore. They're not with him. Sorry. They lived with him for 3 years. They've lived in community together with him for 3 years. And because they knew how to live in community, how to function with other people. There are 12 disciples. There's Jesus. There's the other people around, the women and all those things. Because they knew how to be in community and receive from other people, guess what? They were willing to receive from the man just walking along the road. My Savior, my hero, he brings me water. That was my husband, in case you don't know, just not just some random man I'm calling my hero. This is really big, though. They had lived in community with Jesus and the other disciples for 3 years, and because they lived in that kind of way and received from Jesus and received from each other, when a man that they're just walking with has a good word to give them, they're willing to receive it. Do you hear that? Community is so important that that's what sets them up to be able to be set back in place, to be corrected, to be reset, to be put on the straight and narrow path again because they knew how to live in community. Here's the thing, too. They wanted Jesus back. They were still really hungry. You know when you're really, really hungry, you'll eat something that you might not eat if you're not so hungry. They wanted Jesus. They got a man on the road, but they were so hungry. They were taking what he was feeding them, even though it wasn't the source they thought it was going to come from. I pictured myself when I was getting ready, coming down here to say this to you, and so I'm just going to do it because I saw it in my head. I know that's weird, but it's okay. This is the most important thing maybe I'm going to say in this message. There are times when we are crying out for Jesus to come and intervene, to come and save us, to come and fix it, to come and make it all right, and we're wondering why he's not coming, and we're wondering why he's not there, but what he's really done is set a person who's just on the road with you. They have the word for you, and it's up to you if you're going to receive it or not. The man walking next to you on the road is the one who's going to give you what you need, and it's up to you to decide if you're hungry enough to take it from him. They could have told him to mind his business. They could have told him, no thanks, buddy. Look here. I have been with Jesus Christ for the last 3 years. Do you know who I am? I don't know you. I don't need to hear a word you've got to say. But they were so hungry that they were willing to take what the man on the road had to give them. We have to be willing to take what the person walking next to us has to give us. We are sometimes regular human beings just like the disciples, and we want pastor to come to our house and pray to fix it for us. Or we want, you know, I don't know, Bill Johnson, whatever, put a name in the line. We want them to come and pray, and then it'll be better. But guess what? Susie, in your Bible study group, in the small group with you, she's the one that's got the word for you that you need to hear, but you're rejecting it because you're waiting for Jesus, and what you don't even know is that Jesus is right there. He's in Susie. He's in her. And that's where it's going to come from. That's where your word is going to come from. You ready? Our willingness to receive from one another will make a way for Jesus himself to show up on our behalf. I'm so happy that Mary Alice and Jimmy and Matthew are here this morning. I didn't know if they would be here or not. But the Lord reminded me about Jim Hale. And I can't tell you how many times over 12 years Jim Hale walked up to Andre and a lot of time probably didn't even say anything, just shook his hand and put some money in his hand and said, take your wife out to lunch. Now listen, that sounds like a regular man just being nice. But if I could tell you how many times that $40 was put in Andre's hand on a day when we were ready to throw in the towel and quit it all, you wouldn't believe me. If we weren't willing to take that money out of Jim Hale's hand and receive it like Jesus Christ had shown up in our situation at that day to say, you're going to make it and you're important and I see you. But it was Jim Hale. It wasn't Jesus, but it was Jesus. It was Jesus through Jim Hale. Jim Hale was a man walking on the road right next to us. But he saw us, and he had the word we needed for that day. We've got to be willing to receive it from the man walking on the road next to us, because what we don't know is that it really is Jesus right there. We have to answer a question this morning. If we're willing to receive from the people that we walk in community with, like they are Jesus with skin on to us, like they have the word that we need, like what they carry matters to our lives, are you willing to receive from just a fellow traveler walking down the same road you're walking down? Are you willing to receive from them? Or are you just waiting for Jesus Christ himself to show up? Guess what? He already did. He's right there. And then are you ready for this? Look at verse 30 and 31. You know, Jesus acts like he's going to keep on walking, but they are so wanting what Jesus has for them that they ask him to stay. They ask him to stop and come. Don't go. Don't keep going. Stay. It's dark. Come eat with us. Come hang out with us. Are you ready? Look at this in verse 30. The word of God says that it was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and then he disappeared. There are some things that will only be opened up for you in your life if you're willing to sit around the table with the people in this room. There are some things the Lord wants to pour out in your life. There are times he wants to encourage you. There are words he wants to give you. There's companionship and community that he wants to provide for you. But if you're unwilling to just sit at the table and receive from the man across the table, your eyes won't get open to some things the Lord wants to show you. You're not going to get everything you need in the Lord from this pulpit. You're not going to get it all from T.D. Jakes on TV. You're not going to get it all from Bill Johnson. There are some things only Susie sitting next to you at the table breaking bread with you can give you. There are some things that your eyes will only be open to in the context of community and the meal and the togetherness of regular everyday life. Because it's actually Jesus sitting right there. We just don't know it. Do we believe that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us, that the same power that conquered the grave is on the inside of us? If we do, we will be so willing to break bread together. We will be so willing to sit down together around the table in the regularness, the mundane, the normal. There are things to be seen there from the regular everyday man sitting next to us. And then are you ready? Here's my third point. The now what of this story. In the now what of this story, there is revelation and redemption. Verse 36. Are you ready? Jesus himself suddenly appears and says peace, but they're scared and think he's a ghost. Did all the kids in the room hear that? People thought Jesus was a ghost one time. There's your funny thing for this morning's lesson. They said, wouldn't it be so funny? I personally like to think Jesus had a sense of humor. Wouldn't it be so funny if he showed up and said boo? He didn't. He said peace. But, wouldn't it just be too cool if the Bible said Jesus showed up and said boo? Just kidding. Peace. That's the crazy places my imagination goes. But he says peace. You don't have to be scared, but they're scared anyway because they're human. They're just like us. He's already come to them, right? They've seen him at the table. Their eyes were opened. He shows up again on the scene, and they're scared that he's there. They're human just like us. Do you see the up and down, the ebb and flow of this? We're with Jesus. He's the Messiah. Oh, he's gone for 3 days. I'm not so sure. Oh, but he showed up again. We've opened our eyes, and we've seen him. Oh, but he's gone again. Then he shows up. Oh, I'm scared. Hello? Is this not us? Do we not do this? Jesus, I just saw you. I just heard from you 20 minutes ago, but you're gone. And then here he comes, and I'm scared. Regular, normal, human beings just like us, so that we can see the now what after the resurrection. No, no, there's revelation and redemption. If you look at verse 45, Jesus begins to reveal some things to them. Verse 45 says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The now what after the resurrection is that your mind is open to understand things you could not understand without it. You could not grasp it. You could not personally take it in like it mattered to you without Jesus on the scene. Without the resurrection, without resurrected life and the victory that comes with it, you can't understand the scriptures. I took a class in Bible college that was Islamic studies. We studied the Muslim culture. We even had a Muslim guy, I can't think of what they're called, come, and he talked to our class. It was really interesting. I was fascinated by the fact that they could literally read what we know and believe is the anointed word of God. How do they read it and not get saved? How do they read it and not see Jesus? They study it like a textbook. They study it like information and believe Jesus was a good man. Because you need the power of the resurrection for your eyes to be open to understand the scriptures. You can't get there on your own. And so the now what after Easter is now your eyes are open and you can understand scripture and you can grasp things you never would have gotten on your own. That's part of the now what. The same power that conquered sin and death and hell is living inside of them. They now have the ability to understand what they couldn't understand just a little bit ago while they're walking down that Emmaus road. Verse 48. First he tells them, your eyes are open, you can understand scriptures. And then in verse 48, he says, you're the witnesses. Could anyone tell the story better than these men? No one. No one was qualified. No one was there. No one knew what really happened. No one knew the ins and outs of it like them. But they're walking down the road and they're doubting and they're discouraged. But Jesus comes and he says, you're the ones. You're the witnesses. You're the ones that are going to tell the whole world about me. Resurrection life, life after Easter, life after he's risen, and that reality becomes a part of who we are on the inside, means you're the witnesses. You're the only ones who can go tell it. Nobody else can do it for you. This morning, the Lord is saying to you, you're the witnesses. This is the now what. This is the after Easter message. You get to go tell. Your eyes are open. You can understand the scriptures. And now you get to go tell. They were there for it all. They lived with him. They knew him. And no one else could represent him better than they could. Verse 49. And look, I'm sending you what my father promised. Stay in the city until you're empowered from on high. They're going to get some power. I wonder, This was just a thought I had. But, you know, Jesus probably had a lot of power on the inside of him. Jesus isn't going to be there anymore. The power's got to come from somewhere. Holy Spirit had to come to give them the power. So, you know, now they've got opened eyes to understand the scriptures, and now they've been told from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that they're the witnesses. And now he says, guess what? Power is coming. And I have to imagine that if he said to them, power is coming, it was going to be greater than what they'd already experienced. Because otherwise he would have said, life will go on as normal. Go about your business. He didn't say that. He said, hang on, don't worry, get ready, power is coming. Look at this, though. Where does Jesus tell them to go? Does he say you're going to get power? Run out now and walk in it. No. He says, you stay right here in this city, and power is going to come to you. In community, together, in this place, that's where the power is going to come. That's where the power will meet you. He doesn't say spread out now. He says, no, hang on. And what we find that they're doing, if we look at the scriptures, what we find that they're doing is they're in the temple praying, they're in the temple worshiping. They're in the upper room praying, because that's where they're found in Acts. I don't know if you heard that. The power is going to come in the context of community. The power comes when we stay together, when we're in the city, living life together, worshiping and praying. That's where you're going to get your power from. And then you'll be sent out. Then you'll get to go. Then you'll have what you need to do more. But he tells the disciples, the men who had literally walked with him on the earth, you have to stay together first. Then you'll get the power you need. Now get ready, because he reveals, but he also redeems. This knocked my socks off, and I hope it does yours too. Verse 50. Look at verse 50. Where does it say in verse 50 that they're going? Does anybody see it? They're going to Bethany. Do you know what's in Bethany? The Mount of Olives is in Bethany. Do you know what happened at the Mount of Olives? Isn't that where they went to pray? Isn't that where they went to pray with Jesus? And they messed up big time. Am I right? Okay. Jesus asked them, can you pray with me? What did they do? They fell asleep. But Jesus never leaves us in our failure. He never leaves us with our last memory with him being one where we messed up. He always redeems. He always takes it back. He always fixes it. And so he says, come with me to Bethany. Come with me to the Mount of Olives. That place, remember, where when you think of the Mount of Olives, what do you think of? I fell asleep on you, Jesus. I didn't get it right here, Jesus. You asked me of something and I couldn't give it to you. And yet Jesus says, come with me there. Come with me there. And watch as I give you a blessing as I ascend into heaven. Are you getting that? He reveals and then he redeems. He's so good to them that he wouldn't leave them with a memory of a failure as he goes, but he would take them in and say, come with me here, and I'm going to give you a blessing, and you're going to be the ones that watch me go. Yeah, you messed up here. Yeah, you didn't get it right here. Yeah, I asked something from you in this place, and you didn't give it to me, but watch me redeem it right now before I go. I won't leave you with that sour memory. I won't leave you with that feeling of this place like you let me down. I'm going to take you there, and I'm going to give you something nobody else gets. He takes them to the Mount of Olives. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. And we're not going to pray long. But I felt like maybe there are some this morning that would like to respond. And so I'm going to ask you a few questions. And like I said, we're not going to take a long time. So if you'd like to respond to any of these points, I just want you to come forward. That does nothing for me. It's just something about when we say, yeah, Lord, I need this. You don't have to if you don't want to, but we're going to pray. I wonder if you're doubting or discouraged this morning. The now what of doubting and discouragement is that you're not alone. He won't leave you there. I wonder if you haven't functioned in community. I wonder if you've resisted that, or you're ready to say, I need to be a part of this community. I need to be in a place where I can receive correction, and I can receive love, and I can receive opened eyes for things that I won't see anywhere else. This morning, you can let yourself be reset and corrected. We're going to go after that in just a minute. I wonder if you need revelation or you need redemption this morning. You need to know that you're a witness. You need to know that you can understand the scriptures. Maybe you've read the Bible your whole life and it's never made sense to you. This morning, I believe we're going to pray and your eyes can be opened. Maybe you need more power. Maybe you feel powerless, like you've tried and tried on your own and it hasn't worked. There's power here this morning. How about this? I think a lot of us could respond to this. How about the place of your greatest failure, or one of your greatest failures? How about needing that to be redeemed this morning? We're going to pray very quickly to end the service. And if you want to respond to any of those, if you would just come forward, we're going to do this quickly, and we're not going to stand up here all morning. But I want to know if you're doubting or discouraged, come on, we're going to pray. If you need community and you need to be open to correction and to let people speak into your life, and you need to be willing to say, I'll receive from Jesus, from the man walking on the road with me, come on up. If you need a reset, we're gonna pray for that. If you need revelation or redemption, if you need to understand scripture better, if you want to be a witness or have more power, come on up this morning. Or if you have a place that feels like your greatest failure to you and you want that place to become a great place of blessing that God touches this morning, come up. We're going to raise our hands and we're going to close our eyes. Church, you can raise your hands too. We're just going to pray. Because I believe the now what of a risen Savior is that we live a victorious life. And so this morning, Lord, I pray. And you can agree with me and you can pray. Church, all around, if you'd agree with me as I pray. Lord, if there's doubt or discouragement here, I pray that you would lift it in Jesus' name. I pray that when we face the hard times, we would have a sense that you're there, even though we're not sure if you are or not. I pray that you would come to doubt and discouragement in any of our hearts this morning. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would come and lift those things off of us in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who are open to community, that we would be open to being corrected, that we would be open to living life around the table with each other. That we wouldn't be closed off and thinking we can do Jesus by ourselves all alone at home. But we would know that there are some pieces of you, Lord, that you're only going to reveal and open up to us through the eyes and the lives of the people around us. Give us grace, Lord, to search for community and go after it. And Lord, I pray that this morning in this place, the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be here. That we would have wisdom, that we would have revelation, that we would know we're witnesses, that we would know the scriptures, that we would know that power is coming to us. It is a part of what we get through a resurrected life. Oh Lord, you take our biggest mistake, or one of our biggest, or one that's a sour memory to us because you asked something of us and we couldn't do it. And you make it the place where you pour out your richest blessing sometimes. When you ascended, you were blessing those people in a place where they'd not done the best they could do. And so this morning, I simply ask that if we carry around a place that feels like a big failure, that you would pour out a big blessing in that very place this morning. That you would take our mistakes and the things we've gotten wrong and you would make them right. You're so good, and your presence is in this place this morning, and we love you, and we thank you that there is a now what, that we don't have to go back to regular, mundane, frustrating lives, but there's power, and there's victory, and there's open eyes, and there's revelation, and there's community, and we give you glory and honor and praise for all those things. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you rose, and we thank you that we don't have to stop there. But we keep moving forward and we keep marching on, and that there's power in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory and honor and praise in this place this morning for the simplest act of coming forward and saying, I need you in this spot. I pray that your spirit would rest upon these people throughout this week. I pray that your spirit would rest upon them, and that they would be reminded when they doubt or discouraged that you're actually right there. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful for your word. And we believe that you will do every single thing you promised us you would do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Can we say it together? Amen. Amen. Be blessed this morning.